Krishna Consciousness Program, and I'd like to invite all the listeners to the Hare Krishna Temple at 1229 Coatesville Riverhead Highway, where we have special public programs every Sundays starting at 11:30 with bhajans and kirtans, followed by Aarti of the Lordships at 12:30. Then we have a discourse on Krishna Consciousness Philosophy based on Srimad Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, followed by Aarti of the Foundacharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we finish the day's program with a vegetarian feast at 2:30. Please come along and join us in celebrating Krishna consciousness. Remember, I've been talking about 30 steps in salvation or moksha, and I'll do a summary of what I have covered so far. Remember the first one, the very first step. In this endeavor, there is no loss. And whatever little advancement you have made in devotional service or Krishna consciousness, it stays there. If for some reason you stop, do not follow it, and come back to it later at a later point, you start from where you had left. You don't have to start all from scratch. Secondly, being freed from attachment, fear and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me. Many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love of me. This is Lord Krishna telling Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, text 10. That is, this is nothing new. This method has been tried in the past by many sages, many devotees, and so we are not experimenting it. Third one, in this world there is nothing to so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism, and one who has achieved this enjoys the self within himself in due course of time. Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, text 38. And this is called రాజ విద్య రాజకీయం పవిత్రం ఇదం ఉత్తమం ప్రత్యక్ష అవాగమం ధర్మం సుసుఖం కర్తం అవ్యయం. దిస్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఈస్ ద కింగ్ ఆఫ్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్, ది మోస్ట్ సీక్రెట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ సీక్రెట్స్. ఇట్ ఈస్ ప్యూరెస్ట్ నాలెడ్జ్ and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. Fifth, the very ancient science of relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you because you are my devotee as well as my friend. Therefore, you can understand the transcendental mysticism of this science. 6. And when you have thus learned the truth, you will know that all living beings are but part and parcel of me, and they are in me and I am within them. 7. The yogis abandoning attachment act with body, mind, intelligence and even with the senses only for the purpose of purification. 8. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. The yogis whose mind is fixed on me verily attains the highest happiness. By virtue of his identity with Brahman, he is liberated. His mind is peaceful, his passions are quietened, and he is freed from sin. So that means we need to control our mind. Wherever it wanders away, bring it back to Krishna consciousness. Bring it back to Krishna. Next one, humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a genuine spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, and self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of evil, of birth, death, old age, and disease, non-attachment to children, wife, home, and the rest, and even mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, resorting to solitary places, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All this I thus declare to be knowledge, and what is contrary to this is ignorance. Bhagavad Gita chapter 13, text 8 to 12. That very ancient science of relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you because you are my devotee as well as my friend, and therefore can understand transcendental mystery of this science. And the next one is adjusting your diet for higher awareness. Remember, the Lord Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhakta Prayachati Tadham Bhakti Upartam Asnami Prayat Atmana. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, text 26. And we too should purify our whatever food we are eating first by offering it to Lord Krishna and then accepting the food, offered food, which is prasadam, to the whole family. Next one, day 12. You are not your body. Anadityam niragunatvat paramatmayayam avaya sarirasto api kuntayaha na karoti na lipate. Those with the vision of eternity can see that the imperishable soul is transcendental, eternal and beyond the modes of nature, despite contact with the bodies, with the material body. O Arjuna, the soul neither does anything nor is entangled. Chapter 13, text 32 of Bhagavad Gita. A living entity appears to be born because of the birth of the material body. But actually, the living entity is eternal. He is not born. And in spite of his being situated in a material body, he is transcendental and eternal. Thus, he cannot be destroyed. By nature, he is full of bliss. He does not engage himself in any material activity. Therefore, the activities performed due to this contact with material body does not entangle him. Those with the vision of eternity can see that the soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of nature, despite contact with the material body. Arjun, the soul neither does anything nor is entangled. In his spiritual training, perhaps the single most important point to understand is that you are not your body. You are the soul within it. The soul is completely transcendental to the body and does not come under the same designations that we give to the body. It does not belong to a certain family, name, or ethnic group. The soul is not Hindu, Christian, Muslim, Jewish, etc. It is also not American, Indian, Russian, Chinese, Pakistani, or anything else. According to the Upanishads, it is also not happy, sad, frustrated, or content. It does not take birth, grow, change, or die. It may be in the body, and we may think we are the body due to false ego, but we have the freedom to think whatever we like. There is a saying that anything that is temporary or changes is not the eternal truth. We have to go beyond what is temporary to get a glimpse of what is real and true. And the soul exists in that field of eternity that is completely beyond the mind, body, and sense. Only the genuine spiritual vision can we see our real identity beyond the body, beyond all of the material nature. The soul is never entangled in the material energy or actions, nor does it engage in such. It is only the body and our body desires which keep, and our bodily desires which keep us bound up in material nature. It is only by thinking we have these bodies which keeps us in the bodily existence. This is why it is so important to pursue the spiritual life and rise above the mental and bodily dictates that limit our perception of our spiritual identity. That is where we can reach our full potential beyond the limitations that are forced down upon us by our absorptions in material existence. The more spiritual we become, the more we can perceive the spiritual dimensions. Remember, we are not this body, we are a spirit soul. And also, we are eternal. So we look at now day 14, becoming free from bodily desires. Matra esprashatu kunteya situshana sukha dukha daha agmanapayino anityam tamastitikshua bharata. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O Sankhya of Bharat, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 14. In the proper discharge of duty, one has to learn to tolerate non-permanent appearances and disappearances of happiness and distress. According to Vedic injunction, one has to take his bath early in the morning, even during winter. It is very cold at that time. But in spite of that, a man who abides by the religious principles does not hesitate to take his bath. Similarly, a human does not hesitate to cook in the kitchen in summer, the hottest part of the season. One has to execute his duty in spite of climatic inconveniences. Similarly, to fight is a religious principle of the Kshatriya, and although one has to fight with some friend or relative, or one should not deviate from his prescribed duty, one has to follow the prescribed rules and regulations of religious principles in order to rise up to the platform of knowledge. Because by knowledge and devotion only can one liberate himself from the clutches of Maya or illusion. शक्नोति हैव यः सोधिम प्राक शरीर विमोक शांत काम क्रोध अभोवाम वेगम सायुक्तम सा सुखी नरः. Before giving up the present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger, he is well situated in and is happy in the world. Chapter 2, text 23. If one wants to make steady progress on the path of self-realization, he must try to control the forces of the material senses. They are the forces of talk, forces of anger, forces of mind, forces of stomach, forces of the genitals, and forces of the tongue. One who is able to control the forces of all these different senses in the mind is called Goswami or Swami. Such Goswamis are strictly controlled. Such Goswamis live strictly controlled lives and forego altogether the forces of the senses. Material desires, when unsatiated, general anger, and thus the mind, eyes, and chest become agitated. Therefore, one must practice to control them before one gives up the material body. One who can do this is understood to be self-realized and is thus happy in the state of self-realization. It is the duty of the transcendentalist to try strenuously to control desire and anger. Once we understand our eternal nature, which is beyond the body, we should become decreasingly influenced or motivated by bodily desires. Such desires and the pleasures we want to attain for the body are themselves temporary. They have a beginning and an end. Thus, happiness of this sort comes and goes, like the winter and summer seasons. If you don't like the weather, wait a while and it will change. Similarly, no matter whether you are happy or sad, in due time, it will change. It is automatic. Sadness is followed by happiness, which may again be followed by moments of sadness. Material nature provides the changes that make this happen. However, such changes are recognized through the mind's of interpretation of them. The sense detects various sensations and the mind judges whether it is agreeable or not. Then the mind develops certain moods based on the external conditions with which it is dealing. That is why this is called the mental platform. As we can see, a person who is engaged in chasing after all the desires is often preoccupied with the superficialities of life. Like a drug addict always chasing after his next high, he is completely obsessed with it, and so much of his endeavor is wasted for such temporary thrills. He gets no rest. So much time, energy, and money is spent, and he is still not happy, though he may feel satisfied for only short periods of time. In the same way, a person chasing after material desires or ways to satisfy the mind and senses loses so much energy and time, yet remains absorbed in the anticipation and hope for finding happiness. But in the guise of sensual or mental pleasure, this is not real contentment or fulfillment. Thus, genuine happiness eludes such a person. This is why it is said that in order to be happy, it is better for a person to tolerate the dictates of the senses rather than giving into all of them. It is like the ocean that receives the waters from so many rivers, yet remains steady in spite of so much input. One problem with trying to please the mind is that the mental platform is very flickering and the mood of the mind is always changing. In other words, what was satisfying at one moment becomes boring or distasteful later. So the mind is always changing its wants, and the more you give it, the more it hankers. the more it will tell you how much it needs. Lust is a relentless master. It is like a fire being fed with gasoline. The more you feed it, the more it will consume. So the point is that as we become free from the bodily conception of life by knowing we are actually the eternal soul within this temporary body, we will also become free from the bodily influence and sensual or mental urges of desire and urges and desires. The more we can do that, the more we can be happy in this world, and the easier it will be for our spiritual pursuits. Next step, day 15, attaining spiritual consciousness. Naiva kinchit karam karomiti yukto manyeta tattvavit pashyan sruna sruprasa jigaran asnana gachati swapana swasan pralapan visarjan grahanan unimishan nimesha shan api indriya indriyartasya vartanti iti dharanam. A person in the divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving, about sleeping and breathing, always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. Because while speaking, evacuating, receiving or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that the only material sense and engagement with this object, and that he is aloof from them. Chapter Gita, chapter 5, text 8 to 8 and 9. A person in Krishna consciousness is pure in his existence, and consequently he has nothing to do with any work which depends upon five immediate and remote causes: the doer, the work, the situation, the endeavor, and fortune. This is because he is engaged in the loving transcendental service of Krishna. Although he appears to be acting with his body and senses, he is always conscious of his actual position, which is a spiritual engagement. In material consciousness, the senses are engaged in sense gratification. But in Krishna consciousness, the senses are engaged in the satisfaction of Krishna's senses. Therefore, Krishna conscious person is always free, even though he appears to be engaged in affairs of the senses. Activities such as seeing and hearing are actions of the senses meant for receiving knowledge, whereas moving, speaking, evacuating, etc. are actions of the senses meant for work. A Krishna conscious person is never affected by the actions of the senses. He cannot perform any act except in the service of the Lord, because he knows that he is eternal servitor of the Lord. Vidya vinahe sampanne brahmane gavi hastini sunye chahi vaswa swapake chaha pandita sam darshana. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned, a gentle Brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, or the outcast. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 18. A God conscious person does not make any distinction between species or caste. The Brahman and the outcast may be different from the social point of view, or a dog, a cow, and an elephant may be different from the point of view of species. But these differences of the body are meaningless from the viewpoint of a learned transcendentalist. This is due to their relationship to the Supreme. For the Supreme Lord, by his plenary portion of Paramatma, is present in everyone's heart. Such an understanding of the Supreme is real knowledge. As far as the bodies are concerned, in different castes or different species of life, the Lord is equally kind to everyone, because he treats every living being as a friend, yet maintains himself as Paramatma, regardless of the circumstances of the living entities. The Lord as Paramatma is present both in the outcast and in the Brahman, although the body of the Brahman and that of an outcast are not the same. The bodies are material productions of different modes of material nature. But the soul and the super soul within the body are of the same spiritual quality. The similarity in the quality of the soul and the super soul, however, does not make them equal in quantity. For this individual is present only in that particular body, whereas this Paramatma is present in every and each body. A Krishna conscious person has full knowledge of this, and therefore he is truly learned and has equal vision. The similar characteristics of the soul and the super soul are that they are both conscious, eternal and blissful. But the difference is that the individual soul is conscious within the limited jurisdiction of the body, whereas the super soul is conscious of all bodies. The super soul is present in all bodies without distinction. Sarva bhuta istam atmanam, sarva bhutani chatmani, ekaste yoga yuktatma, sarvatra samadarshanaha. A true yogi observes me in all being and also sees every being in me. Indeed, a self-realized person sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. Chapter 6, text 29. A Krishna conscious yogi is the perfect seer because he sees Krishna, the Supreme, situated in everyone's heart and super soul, Paramatma. Ishwar sarva bhutanam hridesu arjun tishtati. The Lord is in his Paramatman feature is situated within both the heart of the dog and that of a Brahman. The perfect yogi knows this, and that the Lord is eternally transcendent and is not materially affected by his presence in either a dog or a Brahman. That is the supreme neutrality of the Lord. The individual soul is also situated in the individual heart, but he is not present in all hearts. That is the distinction between the individual soul and the super soul. One who is not factually in the practice of yoga cannot see so clearly. A Krishna conscious person can see Krishna in the heart of both the believer and the non-believer. In the Smriti, this is confirmed as follows. Atatva cha matrava cha atma hi pramu hare. This Lord being, the source of all being, is like the mother and the maintainer. As the mother is neutral to all different kinds of children, the Supreme Father or the mother is also. Consequently, the super soul is always in every living being. Outwardly, also every living being is situated in the energy of the Lord, as will be explained in seventh chapter. The Lord has primarily two energies, the spiritual or the superior and the material, the inferior. The living entity, although part of the superior energy, is conditioned by the inferior energy. And the living entity is always in the Lord's energy. Every living entity is situated in him in one way or another.
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare.